Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this last day of July, July 31st, 2019. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program a guest who I loved interviewing the last time he was on. I believe it was 1 year ago today. I think it was July 31st of 2018, if I'm not mistaken, when my guest Lee Dodd was on the program. This time we are going to be discussing a topic that I believe is a very important topic, and it is a very common issue, one of the most common issues, I think, that arises in Christendom. And the issue is Christian, or should I say subjective Christian experience. And today we're specifically going to be talking about the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience and outpourings of God's love in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And we're also going to be announcing the 2019 Fellowship Conference New England in Portland, Maine. And my guest Lee Dodd is one of four pastors at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Lee Dodd.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Good to be with you, brother.
Was I right that the last time you were on was 1 year ago exactly today?
1 year ago today.
Wow, it's amazing that it's been that long.
Yeah, I'll see you again in 2020.
Well, hopefully we'll have you on again sooner than a year the next time. Before we go into the theme of our show today, the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience, an outpouring of God's love, and Romans chapter 5, verse 5, tell us about Providence Chapel of Denton, Texas.
Sure, brother, be glad to. And as a side note, you had said I was one of four pastors or elders in the church here in Denton, Texas, but as of August of last year, since you and I last had a program together, we have a fifth elder in the church, so
great.
Now I'm one of five.
Great.
Marvelous brothers, one of which, Mac Tomlinson, is on your show, is a relatively frequent guest. So, yep, the church is located in Denton, Texas, is a Reformed and Baptistic church. And by God's grace, we were planted in the year 2000, and now 19 years later, the church is well-established, continuing to grow. The saints, I trust, are maturing in the Lord. We have a baptismal Sunday coming up this Sunday where we'll be baptizing two or three new converts. So the Lord is at work here in Denton, Texas, which is just about 30 minutes north of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Great, and if anybody listening either lives near Denton, Texas, I know my brother, John, I would appreciate everybody praying that my brother John Arnzen visits Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. My brother John is not a believer, and I have been praying that he visits Providence Chapel in Denton because he only lives about 10 minutes away in Justin, Texas. But if anybody wants to visit Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, if you live near there, or if you want to recommend it to family, friends, and loved ones who do live near Denton, or if you're vacationing near Denton, Texas, the website is providencedenton.org, and that's providencedenton, D-E-N-T-O-N.org, and hopefully we'll remember to announce that again later. Tell us about your blog, leedodd.com. What are the kinds of things that you typically blog about?
Brother, that's funny you mention it, and I should have probably touched base with you beforehand. I don't really blog all that much. Don't really consider myself a blogger, but will occasionally, a double underline occasionally, post something on the blog, normally a piece of devotional content. I do manage and maintain a daily edification email list that is sent out to a couple hundred recipients, where I'm either sharing some information from the Puritans or the Reformers or just men from church history, just edifying encouragements. And I'll occasionally write along those lines as well to email out, and then occasionally those things will find their way to the blog. But that is definitely not an active blog nor an active part of the ministry God's given me.
Well, if anybody wants to check that out, it's leedodd.com, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And we are discussing, as I said today, something that is a very common thing in Christendom, where you have people who use their subjective Christian experience as a guide to making vital decisions, as a guide to drive them into various beliefs. And I'm sure everybody listening has met many people professing to be Christian who discuss their subjective Christian experiences as if they are with certainty as reliable and as faithful and as true and as inerrant as the Bible itself. To give you one example, I won't mention this person's name, but there is a person I know very well who swears he is living in a way that pleases God, that he has nothing to really worry about in regard to his stance with God, because of the fact that about 40 years or more ago, he had a vision of Jesus Christ picking him up in his arms and rocking this person to sleep like a baby and telling him that he was safe and telling him that he was a beloved child of God and all those kinds of comforting things. Of course, the fact that this was accompanied by an acid trip doesn't seem to cloud the reality of this event in his life. Why is it that you specifically wanted to discuss subjective Christian experiences and especially a Puritan perspective on this?
Well, for a couple of reasons, but the main focus, I think, of our time together today will be on a more narrow reality within the realm of subjective Christian experience. And that would be really the heart of what Paul is getting to in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, this reality of God's love being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Let me read that. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible, which, of course, is one of the sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us.
Yes, amen. And so, brother, what has happened in recent decades, certainly in response to the rapidly growing charismatic movement birthed out of the 60s and 70s, has been a reformed response that in some measure, in certain circles, has overreacted, I think. And the pendulum then has swung too far the other way to where people, even in our own Reformed camp, are very hesitant to discuss, talk about, think about, even reticent to experience anything that falls into that subjective category. Right? What we're hearing today is let's focus on the objective truth, and that's right and will always be right. But what is missed is that subjective experience in the life of a Christian is rooted in and flows out of the objective truth that we embrace, the objective realities of the gospel. So that's a lot of what I wanted to focus in on today in an effort to help the saints not be afraid of subjective experience and even pursue subjective experience. I'm reminded of Jacob in the Old Testament wrestling there with the angel, and he says to the angel of the Lord, we understand the angel of the Lord to be a theophany, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And we can ask God for such blessings. And that's going to be the heart, I think, of our discussion today.
Yes. Those of us who are Reformed, who have been known rightly for desiring precision in theological soundness and accuracy and biblical faithfulness, we have been also known for at times being anal retentive and being OCD or possessing OCD when it comes to theology as well, and sometimes that can make us overreact to things that have been abused by other Christians to the point where we are depriving ourselves or, in some cases, even teaching falsehoods when we are in overreaction to the errors of others. We run so far the other way that we create our own errors, don't we?
Yeah, brother, we do, and I've been guilty of that in a variety of ways, and I think the Reformed movement, and I'm so thankful for the Reformed resurgence, thankful to Banner of Truth, thankful to Dr. Lloyd-Jones, thankful to the numerous array of books that have come forth from the presses since the 50s, and the Puritans chiefly among those books. But we don't need to be so on guard against all manner of subjectivity that we just throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. I think that sometimes, out of fear of appearing to be charismatic, we have on occasion lessened or diminished the exuberance of joy and celebration in our worship services. That can be a problem when we are sometimes, I think, the critics of Reformed worship are correct. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they're correct when they enter into our worship services and they get the vibe that they're at a funeral service. When it comes to the demonic realm, because we believe prior to the regeneration of a human, that person, as are all people, whether they are elect or reprobate, we are born totally depraved, and because of that, sometimes we underemphasize the fact that there is a demonic realm. We have a common thought process that will just blame everything on the sinner, and of course, I'm not trying to remove the responsibility of sinners, but in a human level, thinking, well, people are totally depraved and bad enough on their own, they don't need any influence of the devil to commit wicked acts and so on, and there is truth in that, but sometimes because of that view of total depravity, people have abused it and wind up acting as if the demonic realm doesn't exist. Would you also agree with that?
Yes, brother.
Even though they wouldn't say that in writing, I don't believe the demonic realm exists. I'm just saying that many Reformed people act that way.
That's right. That's right. So practically, when their knowledge and understanding is employed in their living. You're right. It doesn't appear that they really recognize or acknowledge the spiritual realm and that it exists.
So tell us something about when you say the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience. The Puritans, although there was a lot that they held in common, typically, they're not a monolithic group. I mean, you have Richard Baxter, for instance, who wasn't even a Calvinist. A rare Puritan indeed, but you have differences amongst the Puritans. Are there any specific Puritans that you are referring to when you are getting an idea of the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience?
Yes. The Puritans that I'll be referring to really are the Puritans that I've read over the years, but some of the most well-known men would really fall into this camp of not only preaching about this love of God being poured into the heart and subjective Christian experience, but they lived their lives in such a way to where it was an evident reality. And people that knew them saw this about them and admired this in them. So men like John Flavel, of course, Samuel Rutherford, whose letters, for those that haven't read them, they read like some of the most intimate material one could read, and yet it's preeminently his adoring of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the language that he uses reads much like the Song of Solomon, and it's rather beautiful. But John Owen, Richard Sibbes, some of the chief men that we would be acquainted of with among the Puritans.
So, before perhaps we should discuss the positive aspects about subjective Christian experience, I've already mentioned some negative things. Perhaps you should yourself mention a few negative things about this that we should be cautious about. And then we'll move on to the more positive aspects of subjective Christian experience that you are discussing, that you're highlighting, I should say, that we perhaps are depriving ourselves of enjoying or having any notion of God being involved in these things personally, that they are possessing real meaning and not driving us to a false conclusion about something, or causing us to make a wrong decision about something. But if you could, before we go into the positive end of subjective Christian experience, why don't you mention some things to be cautious about?
I'd be glad to. And really, I think the ultimate safeguard, Chris, in this area, when we're talking about the dangers, the negatives, the abuses, would be that these things happen when subjective experience becomes detached from the objective truth of Scripture. And if that takes place, then all manner of subjective experience can take place and it not have any meaning or any positive impact. It can be demonic activity, the counterfeit work of Satan. It can be hormonal. It could be all sorts of things in and of ourselves. The safeguard to ensuring that subjective experience in the Christian's life is true, genuine, and fruitful is that it will always be rooted in the objective realities of the gospel, that it will always be rooted in Scripture. So, obviously, some of the abuses would be much of what we see in the hyper-charismatic arena, and even things that we see in the nominally charismatic arena. These senses in terms of personal guidance of the Holy Spirit, these feelings that people talk about, and so much talk, Chris, and I know you hear it as well, about feelings. And yet it's detached from or void of biblical truth. So So that would be, to me, one of the main abuses in our day.
I would also add to that something that is very rampant today amongst our Roman Catholic family members, loved ones, friends and neighbors. The so-called or alleged supernatural experiences that have been claimed by those who are the key figures in Marian apparitions. I remember a friend of mine who's a Roman Catholic who used to attend nearly all of the Roman Catholic debates that I orchestrated with my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who's the Reformed Baptist theologian that was involved in these debates, and also more recently Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary, who's also been involved in debates that I have orchestrated. I have a friend who, one of the anchors to him, one of the chief things that he believed that led him to be certain that the Roman Catholic Church was the true church, were apparitions such as those in Fatima. And I remember he was always emphatic with me about this, because he would say, how on earth could this not be truly the Blessed Virgin or those apparitions, because she was saying true and good and wonderful things about Jesus, as if the devil never mixes truth with error. And that's what I had to remind him. I was saying to him, that's really absurd to think that just because an apparition is saying some true and good things about Jesus, that you're going to believe everything else that this apparition allegedly said. I mean, is the devil that stupid that he would only say grotesque and horrible things? He's obviously deceiving people as an angel of light, and therefore, you know, he's going to trick people who love Christ or who claim to love Christ. And, you know, so he just refused to believe that the apparitions at Fatima and some of the other apparitions were false. Even though it's interesting, you'll have Catholics who will say that there's no way that Fatima is a false apparition, and yet some of them, especially the more conservative Catholics who are involved in the traditional Latin Rite wing of Catholicism, they will totally reject the apparitions at Medjugorje as satanic, even. So at least they understand that Mary can be a masquerading demonic spirit that appears to be Mary or claims to be Mary. At least they're acknowledging that can happen. And then you have on the more silly realm of Roman Catholics who see Jesus and Mary, maybe perhaps more often Mary, in cloud formations, in bagels, you know, in potato chips, in water stains on buildings. I remember when I was visiting Clearwater, Florida, there was a building that became a shrine to Mary when Catholics purchased this commercial office building, because there was a tinted windows on this building, very tall building, and the film or whatever material that was used to tint the windows, it had when the lawn sprinklers were, something went wrong with the lawn sprinklers, and they were spraying on the windows for a prolonged period of time, they created a bizarre looking stain on the windows. And these Catholics were convinced this was an image of the Blessed Mother that miraculously appeared there. And I always wonder why, just because something may vaguely look like a hooded figure, that it's got to be Mary. I mean, why can't this be the angel of death? But I just wanted to say that, because there are many Catholics that I know personally, that I've met personally, who still, text me or email me photographs of these things, of clouds that they think look like Jesus or Mary, trees, the leaf the leaf formations on the trees, they'll swear there's an image of Mary or Jesus, and this is somehow miraculous. So these things are, these things can be heretically superstitious. I guess all superstition is heretical, and dangerous when it really comes to become an idolatrous thing for these people.
No doubt about it.
Well, let's move on now to what you consider some good subjective Christian experiences. Give us examples of that and how the Puritans specifically spoke of these things and how we are to guide our lives when we are faced with these subjective experiences.
Well, ideally, brother, I'd like to camp out together as we have time today in Romans 5:5, and maybe to initiate this segment, I will begin with a quote from the Puritan John Flavel, who was speaking about Romans 5:5, and he said, "Ecstasy and delight are essential to the believer's soul, and they promote sanctification. We were not meant to live without spiritual exhilaration, and the Christian who goes for a long time without the experience of heartwarming will soon find himself tempted to have his emotions satisfied from earthly things, and not, as he ought, from the Spirit of God. The soul is so constituted that it craves fulfillment from things outside itself and will embrace earthly joys for satisfaction when it cannot reach spiritual ones. The believer is in spiritual danger if he allows himself to go for any length of time without tasting the love of Christ and savoring the felt comforts of the Savior's presence."
So how in everyday life of a Christian would this apply? What specifically, can you give us some examples of a subjective experience that a Christian may encounter that he should not readily, or he should not immediately or automatically dismiss as something that doesn't mean anything, he should take no comfort in that? How is, you know, tell us some of the good ways that God comforts his children through these subjective experiences.
Sure, I would love to do just that. And I want to say that the thrust of what I am commending to myself, to you, to the audience today, is subjective Christian experience that is rooted in the Scriptures. And that's why, if we're simply to focus on Romans 5, verse 5, and the outpourings of God's love into our heart, then we can rest assured that this is not something extra-biblical, not something that is untethered from Christian doctrine, not something that is sloppy or man-made, but something that is commended to us by the Apostle Paul in the epistle to the church at Rome. So this kind of experience, again, rooted in objective truth, is an experience the believer has when God manifests himself to the individual believer and shows that believer the great love that he has for him as a son or a daughter. And we can see this, I think, Chris, in the context of Romans 5, where in the early verses, really the first half of the chapter, the whole chapter in one sense, but the early part of the chapter, the Apostle Paul is giving reason after reason, argument after argument, of why the believer can be assured of their salvation.
In fact, we're going to pick up right where you left off when we return from our first break.
Sounds good.
All righty. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for Lee Dodd, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Pastor Lee Dodd, one of five pastors at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. We are discussing the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience, outpourings of God's love, from Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And before we go back into this discussion, Pastor Lee, I want to make sure that you discuss a little bit about the Fellowship Conference New England in Portland, Maine, that's coming up this week, actually. It's going to be held from the 1st through the 3rd of August. That's tomorrow through Saturday at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. Why don't you tell our listeners more about this conference where you are on the roster?
I would be glad to. This is a conference that I've had long involvement in, though this will be the first year I will be preaching in the conference. So our church here in Denton, Texas, Providence Chapel, was a part of the founding of this conference now, I think about 7 years ago or so. And we recognized that there was a need in the New England states for a doctrinally sound conference for believers to enjoy fellowship, to sit under faithful preaching, and really to allow the Lord to make connections between saints in different areas. Many saints in the New England states not even near a good, doctrinally sound church. So we wanted to see the Lord work in birthing maybe church plants and relationships that would last, and we wanted it to be an encouragement to the saints in those New England states. So here we are, 2019, and this is the Fellowship Conference New England, and it is continuing to do exactly what we had hoped it would do. It's an encouraging time. There's preaching that begins Thursday evening tomorrow. I will actually fly out from Texas to Boston and then head north in a rental car tomorrow morning. But preaching begins Thursday, and the conference wraps up Saturday afternoon, August 3rd. There's plenty of time for fellowships, relationship building, getting to meet other saints from different New England states. Many states will be represented there at the conference, but it's truly a blessing for those who can attend.
Great. And if anybody wants more details on registering or attending Fellowship Conference New England, starting tomorrow through Saturday, August 1st through the 3rd, at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Before I have you return, I'll have you pick up where we left off, and then I'll take our listener question. We have a first-time listener question from Nigeria, Africa. So before we go into his question, why don't you pick up where you left off before the break in regard to Romans 5:5? And I was asking you if you could possibly give us some idea of what kind of subjective Christian experience that you're discussing, because obviously there is a rule book here that you are saying it can't be detached from truths of Scripture, but there's still, if it's subjective, there is a detachment of some kind. So if you could pick up where you left off and give me a better idea of where you're coming from.
Yes. Yeah, so to really try to capture the context of Romans 5, the Apostle Paul has been argument after argument showing believers at Rome why they can be assured of their salvation. In verse 1, he speaks of the objective peace with God that we have being justified by faith. And he goes on to really just give reason after reason after reason, I think, crescendoing, in a sense, in verses 6 through 11, where Paul magnifies the love of God for ungodly sinners, so much so that Christ died for such as them. And what he's doing, he's magnifying the love of God and taking it to the highest high, where God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were weak, while we were ungodly, while we were sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. So there is the objective reality of the gospel and the great assurance that God loves us. And that assurance is rooted in objective truth. Yet in the midst of that context, we have verse 5. And Paul, very systematically, logically, is going to make a connection for us that is so helpful. We must glory in, rejoice in, find assurance in the objective reality of God's loving us, even while we were sinners. And yet, there is a subjective experiencing of that love that Paul describes in Romans 5:5, and he describes it as God's love being poured into our hearts. Other verses come to mind, John 14:21, where Jesus says, "I will love them and manifest myself to them." But, Chris, this is rooted in the objective truth, but it is a subjective experience that is birthed from these objective realities. And it is personal, it is experiential, it is full of feeling. It is the experience of God's love being poured out into our heart.
Okay, let me go to somebody whose name, I'm sorry, I'm no doubt going to mispronounce it, our Nigerian listener, Deji Yesufu, and perhaps he can email me and let me know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. It's Deji Yesufu, Nigeria, Africa. He says, "This is my first time listening live to your program, and it is such a joy to join in with you today. My question to your guest is, in recent times, I got to understand cessationism, and having examined this theological position, I affirm today that I am a cessationist. It is correct to say that in line with cessationism and the sufficiency of scriptures, God no longer speaks to Christians today outside of scriptures or outside scriptures. Or better still, when can a Christian confidently say that God has spoken to him," and he emphasizes the word spoken, "to him or her in a subjective manner?"
That's a great, great question, Chris. And I think what I want to do in response is read the testimony of one that we may all be familiar with. And there are many more that I could share. Should time allow, I'll share more. But I want to share one in response. From Sarah Edwards, wife of Jonathan Edwards, really at the end of the Puritan era, maybe the last of the American Puritans. Sarah Edwards, in her diary, says this: "I cannot find language to express how certain this appeared. My safety and happiness and internal enjoyment of God's immutable love seemed as durable and unchangeable as God himself. Melted and overcome by the sweetness of this assurance, I fell into a great flow of tears and could not forbear weeping aloud. It appeared certain to me that God was my Father, and Christ my Lord and Savior, that he was mine and I his." And she goes on, entry after entry, over the course of her adult years, brother, to share of these experiences. Maybe I'll read others as the show progresses. But this is the experience of God's love in what probably today would be considered an extraordinary measure, I'm trying to commend to your listeners that it ought not to be such a rare and extraordinary thing, that the Christian ought to desire these subjective experiences of God's love more and more regularly, because they encourage us in our sanctification, in our perseverance. This is not necessarily a word of prophecy at all. So the language of the questioner has to do with God speaking. Rather, this is God manifesting his presence in such a way to where the believer is engulfed in the love of God, the warm presence of their Savior, and so encouraged and so moved and so stirred by it.
Well, thank you, our dear brother, and I'm assuming that's a dear brother, in Nigeria. Thank you very much for your excellent question, and I hope that you continue to send in questions to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We look forward to hearing from you again. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who has a question. I am having a hard time distinguishing between what you are saying and how a Mormon might describe his burning in the bosom after reading the Book of Mormon, or any other person in a false religion that speaks about the warm embrace of Christ that they are feeling, and other words to that effect. How can we know that a person is truly a Christian when they describe these experiences, when we also know that many false religions report the same experiences?
So in the question, he's really answered the question when he recognizes that they are false religions. So, Chris, you remember I said the ultimate safeguard here is that any subjective experience the Christian has, it must be tethered to, rooted in the objective truth of Scripture. So when we're evangelizing a Mormon and they say, well, I believe that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God on par with the King James Bible, and I know because when I was reading it, there was a burning in my bosom. We can reject that as genuine experience because that experience is not rooted in the objective truths of the gospel.
So I take it that you're specifically talking about not necessarily occurrences, but experiences that involve feelings, emotion, and so on, that we should not write off automatically or minimize their importance when we are Christians who are following Christ, are reading his word, are repenting of sin and so on, and we should be taking these as gifts, these experiences. You're not really speaking necessarily about occurrences. Let me give you an example. That's a subjective occurrence. A person that I know and love died, and there was a question mark on what this individual, this man, very close person in my life, believed about the gospel. He made, you know, frequent references to how much he loved Christ and so on, but there was also some extreme ecumenism involved in his belief system, where those outside the Christian faith had, you know, could receive salvation. But he would go back and forth on those kinds of things. But after he died, I was told a booklet that he was writing himself, a journal was found where he was writing how to share our faith in Christ with strangers and things like that, that gave me more confidence, more hope that that person was indeed born again. Now, is this not what you're talking about today, or does this have some element in what you're talking about today? That's a subjective occurrence. In other words, I can't say, well, this proves it emphatically, without a doubt, that person's saved. I can't say that, but should I take hope in that? Should I use that as a sign that I can say God has possibly given me this sign that this person is in eternity with Christ?
yes, I think you could take comfort and have hope in that, though that hope will be proven out when you arrive in heaven and find him there or not there. Really, what the focus here is in our discussion is not even so much how do I judge the fruit in another believer or professing believer or unbeliever that's really involved in some crazy things, but rather I'm commending to your audience a personal, satisfying, subjective relating to their Savior, all of which is rooted in the objective realities of the gospel. So we want to be those that can say, Chris, I know God loves me. And we want to be those, Chris, that can say, I feel that God loves me. I'm reminded of Paul in Galatians 2:20, who says, Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me.
In fact, if you could pick up right on that text when we return, because we have to go to our midway break right now. This is a longer than normal break. It's our break that Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida requires of us because they have to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, and therefore they use this time to air their own public service announcements and commercials while we air our globally heard commercials of our own that you will be hearing if you live outside of Lake City, Florida. And we ask of you to use this time wisely. Please write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can frequently and successfully patronize them, because that will further ensure that we remain on the air longer, because our advertisers will want to continue to support us, obviously, if they are getting results. But also use this time to send in questions to Lee Dodd about the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. And if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about an hour to go is Lee Dodd. He is one of five pastors at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. We are discussing the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience, outpourings of God's love, and Romans chapter 5, verse 5. We're also promoting the Fellowship Conference New England in Portland, Maine, which begins tomorrow, Thursday, the 1st of August, through Saturday, the 3rd of August. And you'll be hearing more about that in just a moment. Before I return to my discussion with Pastor Lee, let me start off with another reminder about Fellowship Conference New England. This is a conference that always features wonderful speakers, most of whom I have interviewed. In fact, this year, starting tomorrow through Saturday, I have interviewed all of the men who are on the lineup, and I highly recommend each and every one of them. The first on the roster is Pastor Anthony Mathenia, pastor of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia. He is also the pastor of Paul Washer. And Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who many of you may recall also being interviewed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He is a dear friend, one of the five pastors, along with Lee Dodd of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. Pastor Mac is also a generous financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Really a wonderful brother in Christ and an author. I just look forward to every opportunity that I have to interview Pastor Mac, to fellowship with him, and just to promote whatever he is doing to further spread the gospel. Our guest today, Pastor Lee Dodd, is one of those speakers on the roster at the conference. Pastor Nathan Pickowitz is also on the roster, who I've interviewed a number of times. I just recently interviewed him, and he is an author and pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire. You also are hearing him promote the New American Standard Bible in those ads for the publishers of the NASB, and we thank God for the NASB and their faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ever since we launched. But this conference is a unique conference in that there is never a central theme that they pick for the conference. Every pastor just unburdens his heart with what they most want or their audience to hear that day or during those days of the conference. So that makes it an unusual conference and more diverse, perhaps. If you want more information about this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Then coming up, it's overlapping the conference that we just heard about. This is an event in Hockley, Texas, where my friend Dr. Tony Costa will be speaking at the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas. This is a conference of the Providence Theological Institute, and it starts on Friday, the 2nd of August, and continues through Sunday, the 4th of August. This is on the opposite end of the country than the other conference I just mentioned, which is in Maine. This is in Hockley, Texas. And the themes included at this conference, where Dr. Tony Costa will be speaking, are the meaninglessness of life without God, the authority and inerrancy of Scripture, the promised land and the new covenant, and the glorious new covenant, and more. If you want more details on this conference, you can either call the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas at 832-349-5342. That's 832-349-5342. Or you could go to the website of churchatfriendship.org, churchatfriendship.org, and you can click on the events, and you will have all the details that you need there. Also coming up in September, which will be here before you know it, is a debate being conducted by my friend Pastor Bruce Bennett of the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. Pastor Bruce is debating a Roman Catholic apologist named Matthew Luke Broderick, and it's being held Saturday, September 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. The theme of the debate is the Pope, or should I say, I'm sorry, is the office of Pope biblical? Is the office of Pope biblical? And if you want to attend this event, which is free of charge, either go to their website, wotchurch.com, wotchurch.com, which stands for Word of Truth Church.com, wotchurch.com, or call them at 631-806-0614. 631-806-0614. Then in December, I am going to be packing up my bags and heading back to my stomping grounds, my old stomping grounds, New York City, to the Foundations Conference in Manhattan, a conference of sermonaudio.com, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. And what better time of year to go to New York City than during the Christmas season? I can't wait. And this is a conference for men in ministry leadership only. They can only fit less than 200 people in this venue, so they have limited the guests to men in ministry leadership. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. If you would like to attend with me December 19th and 20th, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, at the Foundations Conference, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then I'm going to be packing up my bags and heading down south again to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, for the G3 conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And that's going to be Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. And the theme this January is Worship Matters. And I'm so glad that I just last night got off the phone with my friend Kosti Hinn, who is on the roster at the G3 conference. He is going to be returning to Iron Trip and Zion Radio as a guest to promote this event. And I'm so delighted he is. That's going to be coming up in September. And we will give you more details on the exact date as soon as possible. Actually, wait a minute. No, it's going to be in August. I'm sorry. He's going to be on the show, God willing, August 26th, Monday, August 26th. But Kosti Hinn is the nephew of notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn, and Kosti doesn't mind me saying that because Kosti has repented of the Word of Faith heresies he was raised in, and he spends much of his time outside of his own pulpit warning people about the deceptive, dangerous, deadly, and damning lies of the Word of Faith movement, including those of his own uncle, who he has publicly said on this show and other places that he knows for a fact that his uncle is not only just a deceived individual who is deceiving others, he is a conscious charlatan. So, Kosti Hinn will be on this roster, so will Daryl Bernard Harrison, a new addition to the Grace to You ministry of John MacArthur. David Miller, who is a really wonderful old-school preacher. Derek Thomas, who is a name definitely not unfamiliar to most of the Reformed listeners of the Iron Trip and Zion Radio audience because of his books that he has written and also because of his preaching and teaching. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is going to be on the roster. Dr. Joel Beakey, the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, also an old friend going back to the 1990s. Once again, we have Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer. They're on this roster as well. Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio is on the roster. Dr. Tom Askell, the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Voddie Baucom, another one of the most powerful preachers alive today, and more. And, as you already perhaps heard, John MacArthur, one of my modern-day heroes, has been added to the roster. I am so excited about that because I have never been in the same building with John MacArthur when he is preaching and teaching. So I am just so ecstatic about this. If you want to join me at the G3 conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and register to not only attend, but if you are a business owner or you run a parachurch organization or you're having an event of some kind and you want to publicize it to the body of Christ, especially to Christians who are going to be no doubt predominantly theologically reformed, well, why don't you register for an exhibitors booth, just like I will be manning, and do so while there's still room, because with John MacArthur added to the lineup, I have a feeling they're going to run out of room real fast. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and register for not only attending, but if it applies to you, an exhibitors booth. And I hope that your booth is near mine. Just remember, it's Thursday through Saturday, January 16th through the 18th. In College Park, Georgia, at the Georgia International Convention Center. And last but not least, if you love my show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves. You love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones. You love hearing the guests and the topics on the show that sometimes are never heard anywhere else. You have extra money. You've been financially blessed where you have extra money for benevolent and charitable purposes. You have extra money for recreational purposes, for coffee, ice cream. You have extra money that's lying around collecting interest. Well, please, if you love the show, please, I'm begging you to help us remain on the air through your generous financial support. Go to I always do this. I always am about to give the G3 conference website again. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by going to ironsharpensironradio.com and then click support. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please remember, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church that you're accustomed to in order to give to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy to give to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Those two things are clearly commands of God. Providing for your church and your home are not things that you can avoid or ignore. Those are commands. Providing for my show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please give as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. That is, if you want us to stay around. And I'm assuming if you're listening, you want us to stay around. Remember, you could also advertise with us. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We'd love to help you launch an ad campaign if indeed you're promoting something that is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with what we are teaching and proclaiming here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio, but you do need to be promoting something that's compatible, at least, with what we believe. And, of course, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. So if you need help finding a church, whether to join if you are not a member of a local church near you, or where you're going on vacation, you need a church to visit while you're on vacation, or you need a church to help out your family, friends, and loved ones who live in different parts of the world. I have already helped a number of people all over the world find churches that they have joined or visited while on vacation or referred to their family in the Iron Trip and Zion Radio audience. I can help you too, God willing, and I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world to help me do that. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church home" in the subject line. That is also the email address where you could send in a question to Lee Dodd. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you just tuned us in, we are discussing the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience, outpourings of God's love, and Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And I interrupted you before we went to our midway break, Pastor Lee, so if you could pick up where we left off.
Yeah, brother, I had mentioned Galatians 2:20, which Paul ends that verse with this statement of speaking of Christ, who loved me and gave himself to me. And what I want to commend to the saints everywhere is that salvation is personal, and the Christian life is experiential. It is not simply factual and embracing mentally, logically, these propositional truths. It is experiential. Jesus Christ is a person. Our holy God, triune in being, is a person to be related to. And that I think is what Paul is expressing there when he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. We need more of that in the Reformed circles.
Yes, we do. And we have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. She says, or asks, how can we be sure that when we are experiencing joy and experiencing peace of mind and heart, that this is not something subjective that is a trick of Satan?
Well, Satan doesn't relish in the objective realities of the gospel, does he? He despises the gospel of grace. He despises the preeminence of Christ, who laid down his life for sinful men. So any experience that is separated from these realities, that ground it to the Christian life and true experience, anything that is devoid of that truth, that basis, may well be something of Satan, a counterfeit, may well be something rooted in hormones or the pizza you ate last night. that is not what we're commending today. We are commending the personal experience of Jesus Christ with the believer. Chris, I've been married 22 years this May, and I relate to my wife experientially. I can tell you all about her. I can describe her and the way she looks, her personality, why I enjoy being married to her and have for 22 years. But when I am with her, it is wonderful. This is the kind of fellowship or communion with God that the believer should regularly be experiencing. This is John Owen, the second volume of that 16-volume set titled Communion with God, and he is commending to the saints, here's how you commune with God the Father. Here's how you commune with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Divine Son. And here's how you commune with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 is what that entire book is based off of. And that's what I'm commending. Actual experience with God that is felt and emotional and warm, but rooted in the truth of the gospel.
We have Murray from Kinross, Scotland, who has a question for you. And let's see here. Half of the email, it is being obscured at this moment. Let me repeat our email address while I am trying to expand this email so I can see the whole thing. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, if you also want to send in a question for our guest, Lee Dodd. We have Murray from Kinross, Scotland, asking, as well as having experienced occasions where I feel assured and reassured of God's love for me in Christ, I've also experienced times of feeling overcome. I have also experienced times of feeling overcome with sheer greatness or godness of God, and my own smallness by comparison. Some have referred to this as the goose pimple effect. I'm wondering if this same kind of experience is what you and the Puritans would consider to be a Romans 5:5 experience. And I'll ask his second question if you answer the first.
Yeah, brother, I would say it surely sounds like it. It surely sounds like it. I am not here to say this is exactly what your subjective experience should look like, but I am here to say that those who are walking with Christ, they ought to be those who are experiencing His presence, His love, being overwhelmed with His greatness and grandeur. Not just talking about it, not just sitting under biblical preaching that is expositing those realities to us, but experiencing it, relishing in it, delighting in it, having actual joy in it. And that could look very different amongst believers.
Okay, well, I forgot to ask Murray's second question. I'm conscious that there are some who feel that they have had no conversion experience, but will often use language such as, I can't remember a time when I've never believed. I'm wondering if those whose emotions have never been broken down by a conversion experience are less likely to be aware of subsequent subjective Christian experience. Do you want me to read that again? Because I'm not 100% sure what Murray means by this. Do you want me to, or do you understand him?
I think I may be following him, but it would be helpful for you to read that again, Chris.
I'm conscious that there are some who feel that they have had no conversion experience, but will often use language such as, I can't remember a time when I've never believed. Now, before I move on with the rest of his question, I have had many conversations with especially paedo-Baptists, but also, I guess, Baptists who are raised in Christian homes.
Yes.
Who say, if you ask them, can you tell me when you were saved? They'll say, no, not really, because I just don't remember ever denying Christ. I know I'm a sinner and need a savior and needed a savior, and had obviously at some point that I'm unaware of, a regeneration experience, but all of my memory, all of my memory informs me that as long as I had a consciousness of God, I believed in him and loved him and followed him. So that's, I guess, basically what he is referring to. I don't know completely if that's the case, because he says they have had no conversion experience. But maybe he's specifically talking about like a crisis experience, something profound and dramatic. But I'm assuming he believes these people are assured they were converted. But anyway, the second part of his question says, I'm wondering if those whose emotions have never been broken down by a conversion experience are less likely to be aware of a subsequent subjective Christian experience. So if you could take that and just run with it however you think he meant it.
I think I'm hearing him right, and I think I would agree with his assessment. To me, it maybe is more of an assessment than a question. And like you, Chris, I have encountered many in pastoral ministry that can't really point to a moment in time, a specific conversion experience. And really, with the modern day, and I trust, beneficial focus on conversion, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think in the midst of that, there has been a bit of wrong looking to a conversion experience, so much so that it can stalemate people, and they will continue to struggle with assurance because they haven't yet had this powerful experience. And so while the emphasis is good, what is good can oftentimes produce a little bit of trouble. And this is one of the areas, I think, of trouble or confusion, where people are expecting, looking for, not having any assurance until they have this conversion experience. Yet, the assessment of the gentleman asking the question, I think is valid. Because there are those that come into the faith quietly, without this powerful conversion experience or this kind of night and day transformation, like the drug dealer that gets converted and now he loves Jesus. People that come into the faith more quietly, some come in like a storm, some come in like mist on a cool day. Those that come in quietly, I think, are prone to not expect or long for these kinds of subjective experiences, because it wasn't made known to them early in their faith, because likely they're not hearing much about this from the pulpit. They can kind of wade in shallower waters in terms of subjective experience, not expecting it, not hoping for it, not asking the Lord for it.
Yes, and I have had friends or acquaintances that I've had to rebuke in love for different reasons. One group would be those who were raised in Christian homes, who actually... And I can't help but say that this is nothing less than silly. Sorry if I'm hurting anybody's feelings who's listening. But people who say, I wish I had a more dramatic testimony. I was raised in a Christian home. I've never been overtly or scandalously rebellious. I've never done drugs. I've never been a drunkard. I've never been involved in sexual immorality. And I think my testimony is very boring. I was raised in a Christian home, and I think that I was saved very young because I can't remember ever being an enemy of Christ. And they'll be lamenting this. And I have to correct them and say, are you crazy? I mean, what a thing to rejoice about. That is, yeah. In the 21st century especially, that God had a hedge around you and protected you for his own reasons. Why he does not do this with all of his children, I don't know. But he protected you from ever being in these extreme, overtly scandalous behaviors before you were regenerate. This is something to rejoice about, and it also gives parents hope that their children may be also protected from this. And then on the other end, I've had to correct and rebuke friends who are more predominantly from fundamentalist backgrounds, will say, if you cannot remember the day and the hour that you were born again, you're not born again. I'm like, what? Where does it say that in the Bible? even those that would say, if you doubt your salvation, you're definitely not a Christian. Those kinds of things. There is no biblical basis for that at all. And I think that there are seasons, especially when we're living as Christians in a state of unrepentance. Now, I believe in Lordship Salvation, as it has been nicknamed. I believe that true Christians will eventually emerge out of the sinful rut that they are in if they are living in rebellion. But I do believe, as I even experienced myself when it comes to abuse of alcohol, I emerged from that unrepentant sin that was unrepentant at the time, of course, and came to my senses due to God's grace and mercy and repented of that and have went to an alcohol rehab ministry in Boone, North Carolina called Hebron Colony Ministries. And so during that period of unrepentance, I think that it was right for me and it is right for everybody in a backslidden state to question their salvation. What do you think about what I just said there, Lee?
I'm following you, and have had similar conversations on both ends of that spectrum. So if one is lacking, quote, a conversion experience, certainly they could be commended to test themselves, to examine themselves, to be sure that they're in the faith. And yet at the same time, Chris, there are those believers that don't have a, quote, powerful conversion testimony, and yet they're godly men and women, and some of them yet struggle with assurance. And so pastorally, we would come alongside those individuals and commend to them these objective realities of the gospel, that it doesn't matter if one is saved like the driftwood just floating down the stream toward Christ, or if one is saved and it's like a tidal wave experience, they are no less miraculous one way or the other.
And by the way, I think we have to be clear when we say people who don't have a conversion experience. We believe that everybody who is saved, obviously, is converted, but we are talking specifically about what we believe Murray is referring to. A moment that was a dramatic experience that they can palpably and tangibly grasp as a moment of leaving darkness and entering into light, that kind of a thing.
That's right.
Because even children raised in a Christian home who are rescued by God early and regenerate, even though they may not be conscious of the day and hour this occurred, because it was life as usual, they were still converted.
Yes.
Spiritually converted. Not that they were converted from one religion to another, but they were converted. We are going to our final break right now, and if anybody wants to join us on the air, please send us an email as soon as you can to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. This will be shorter than our normal, or should I say shorter than our last break. Please send in those questions, if indeed you intend to send it. Send it as soon as possible before we run out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Lee Dodd after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here.
Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and this is the final segment of our interview with Lee Dodd of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, on the Puritan perspective on subjective Christian experience. If you could, Lee, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners in regard to this subject.
Yes, it is to commend subjective experience in the life of the Christian as both valid and biblical, to commend what the Apostle Paul commended in Romans 5:5, and to even not just appreciate it or acknowledge it, but to ask God for it. I want to quote Thomas Goodwin, the English Puritan. He said, there is light that cometh and overpowereth a man's soul, and assures him that God is his and he is God's, and that God loves him from everlasting. It is a light beyond the light of ordinary faith. It is the next thing to heaven. It is faith elevated and raised up above its ordinary rate. It is the electing love of God brought home to the soul. And that is an excellent summarization of Romans 5:5.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, do you think that Christians fail to recognize the importance of what you are saying in countries such as the United States, where we are not really being persecuted? Sometimes I think that God gives an extra measure of the supernatural as far as a conscious experience of his love when it comes to persecution, when we see heroes of church history who were singing hymns when they were being burned alive, etc. I think even though it looks like there is persecution rising up on the horizon in front of us here in the United States and other places that are relatively safe, I think that we perhaps lose something in this kind of vivid experience.
You know, Chris, that's very, very insightful. Yet I'm not totally convinced persecution is at the heart of it. Rather, it is the neediness of Christians. In America, we are prone to not feel as though we need the Lord because we have so many creature comforts and so much stability. So the persecution is a symptom, an outward circumstance. But what it does in the lives of believers is causes them to show their neediness. Here in America, we're not all that needy. But needy ones in America that can say, as Isaiah said, I am poor and needy, they are experiencing these manifestations of the love of God in the heart, and I trust they can and should experience them regularly.
We have John in Bangor, Maine. And by the way, John, I hope that you make the trip to Portland, Maine, tomorrow through Saturday for the Fellowship Conference New England. But John in Bangor, Maine says, do you think that people who stress these kinds of experiences over and over again may be missing out on the authentic experience that you're talking about because everything, in their opinion, is some kind of a supernatural experience?
Yes, that is certainly sad, but true in the lives of some. And yet, we must not let that distract us from genuine Christian experience ourselves.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the contact information that they need to get a hold of you, to visit Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and to attend the Fellowship Conference New England. First of all, our guest's personal website is leedodd.com, and there's two, or should I say three D's in Dodd, one in the beginning and two at the end, leedodd.com. Providence Chapel of Denton, Texas has a website, which is providencedenton.org, providencedenton, spelled D-E-N-T-O-N.org. So make sure that you keep that on file somewhere if you're ever visiting Texas, or perhaps if you already live there or have friends and family living there. The Fellowship Conference New England, where my guest is speaking along with, I believe, three other speakers. Fellowship Conference New England from tomorrow through Saturday, August 1st through the 3rd. That website is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And might I remind you, folks, before I go off the air, that Solid Ground Christian Books has been a faithful supporter of Iron Sharpens Zion Radio since we first launched. So please, for all your gift-giving needs, whether it be for wedding anniversaries, whether it be for children going off to college, anything that you are buying a gift to celebrate, please, not that you're celebrating your kids going away, or perhaps you are, but please remember solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and remember to tell them that Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Thank you so much, Pastor Lee Dodd, for being on our program today. I look forward to your return. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write, and I want all of you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.